Our first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Malachi on this last Sunday of the church calendar year. We read from, it's on page 1026, and we read from Malachi 3, beginning at verse 13. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test, and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasure to possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in the book of Colossians. It's on page 1259. And we read Colossians 1, beginning at verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1130. And we read Luke 23, beginning at verse 27. There followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of the women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today. The complaint of God's people against him. "You have said it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape." Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. This is our text. We were created in God's image. What does that mean? Well, God is love, and when we were first created, we absolutely knew what real love is. God is merciful. We knew what mercy was. And also God is just. And we knew what justice looked like. We have now corrupted that nature of God. And while we still, if you will, bear his image, it's reflected in us imperfectly. We kind of know what love is, but there's lots of times that we don't act that way. We know what mercy ought to look like, but we don't always show it. And we also know what justice is. And not only do we not act always justly ourselves, but we recognize that there's not a lot of justice in the world. The complaint that is mentioned in our Old Testament lesson for today is a very real one. Sometimes we think it about things that are happening in our own lives. We go to church, we try to do the right thing, and then some horrible thing happens. And we think to ourselves, why? Why me and not somebody else? Somebody who doesn't serve the Lord. And then we just are observers of life. And like it is said in our text for today, we see evildoers prosper. People who put God to the test and yet nothing seems to happen. We're at work. And have you ever noticed at work that it isn't always the hardest worker or the most talented worker that gets promoted? That's not fair. That's not justice. But that's the way the world often works. In sports, young people's sports, did you know that sometimes coaches have their favorites and they're not always the best players? And the way we want to respond when we see injustice is ultimately the way God is going to respond to it. Vengeance is mine, as says the Lord. I will repay. Ultimately, there will be justice. But note who gets to fix everything in the verse I just quoted. It's not a job that God has given to you and me. That desire for vengeance, that desire to right the wrongs, it's a task that he reserves for himself. And at an appointed time, which may not always fit your schedule. And understanding that fact changes how you and I live in this world. And I do believe that our gospel lesson provides us with an example of how it changes us. There are two individuals that were crucified along with Jesus, sometimes referred to as thieves in one of the Gospels. As notorious criminals, I believe they were in our Gospel for tonight. One of the Greek words used to describe them in the Gospels is rather interesting. The Greek word is lestes. And it has not the sense of a, if you will, common thief. Normally in the ancient world, if somebody stole a slice of pizza, they didn't get crucified for it. Now, these were more than just, if you will, common thieves. The word lestes has a connotation connected to it. That they were more like, if you will, revolutionaries. Marauders. Pirates, if you will. They may have been part of that group which Barabbas was leading. Barabbas is the man that was freed instead of Jesus. And he was the leader of an insurrection. Though we can't absolutely prove it, there's a pretty fair chance that those two individuals being crucified along with Jesus were, if you will, part of Barabbas' crew. They were looking to throw off the Roman rule, to reestablish Israel as an independent nation. They hated the Romans who had invaded their land and took it over. They were waiting for God to establish his righteous rule in their home country. And if you will, trying to help God along in the process. They may have very well thought that Jesus could get the revolution going. And that would probably explain the way at least one of those thieves was reacting as he was by the side of Jesus being crucified. He looks at an innocent man, but he doesn't show pity, he shows anger. He mocks Jesus. He may even have been blaming Jesus for the fact that he was being crucified and not helping lead a battle against the Romans. It was all about seeing justice here and now. And when he didn't see it, he was angry. But sometime during his time on the cross, the other thief began to see things differently. He may have been guilty of the same crimes. He may have been part of that insurrection that Barabbas was leading. He might have been all about establishing justice here and now. But at some point, as he observes Jesus offering forgiveness to the people who nailed him to the cross, or while Luke doesn't record it, John records him showing care and concern for his mother, even as he's dying in agony, he comes to faith in Jesus, who is not preaching about an earthly kingdom, but who is preaching about a kingdom that is to come. And he says to him, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he receives this glorious promise. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." I would submit to you, when that other thief finally died on the cross, he died with anger in his heart. He died wishing for vengeance that he couldn't see. Died angry at God because God was not acting the way he wanted God to act. But the other thief, clinging to the promise that Jesus had made him, died in peace, leaving justice and vengeance and anger to God to resolve, but realizing that God is merciful and forgiving and willing to help all who call upon him, even those who throughout their life might have lived in rebellion against him and anger against him. One of the things that enables us to live differently in this world is we have, if you will, an eternal perspective on life. Life is not fair, but we accept that because we know that God ultimately will make things right. So instead of living our lives trying to make sure that everything is done the way it should be done, and worrying and fretting about all the injustices and all the troubles and all the problems, we instead focus simply on how we might best love one another, serve one another, and cling to that hope which God has guaranteed to us in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, as you all know, we're living in a very, if you will, angry time. People hating one another, angry at each other, trying to force upon others their own sense of justice and righteousness, as if they have to save the world. What we know and what we need to share is that the world's already been saved through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who brought about justice, if you will, by taking upon himself the anger and the wrath of God and experiencing the full punishment that sin deserves, that he might give to us the righteousness that we lack and the life that he gained in his resurrection. It is by what God has done through Jesus that the world is saved. And those who understand that can let go of their anger and focus on love. Tell the world about what God has done, at the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding. May God their hearts until Christ comes again, or we in blessed death get to meet him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.